I would like for you to, I'm going to have you to turn to Matthew 14, 14. Matthew 14, 14. As you're turning there, I want just to briefly draw your attention to the series we began last week on compassion. And I believe that the Lord directed this in us to this particular area, and He knew what was going on among us, but it goes far deeper than that, than what the current events are. There is an all-the-time thing going on that we, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to be active in, and this word compassion we began to look at last week, and on last Sunday, we kind of broke open the subject of a heart for the hurting, a heart for the hurting. And we want to go back to those main passages again, found in the Psalms, in Psalm 145. I would like to just put that on the screen for me, Psalm 145, and we're going to look at that together. And I want you to quote this aloud with me, Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Notice that again, that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Full of compassion. He is good to all. Good to all. That's good news for all of us, because we're in that all. He's good to all of us. He's full of compassion toward all of us. He doesn't pick and choose. It's all of us that He's compassionate and gracious toward. Now I want you to look at the New Testament passage that we looked at last week from the book of Matthew. And it's a verse of Scripture that speaks again to the compassion of the Lord, Matthew 9, 35 and 36. Read this with me. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And so we see again that word compassion, and we see the compassion of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, Him being our supreme example in this area. But I want you to notice there what He was doing among the people as He went in those areas where He had compassion. Notice the last part, it said He was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. This is how compassion is lived out. This is one of the ways in which it is lived out. And that's what I want us to look at today, having a heart for sick people. Now, that's maybe an unusual title for us this morning, but this message on compassion is you and I becoming who God is like, us becoming more like Jesus. We spent a significant time this past spring talking on the fruit of the Spirit and the characteristics of Christ, and us living out Christ and the characteristics of the fruit. But these are things that Jesus does. Remember this. We're going to think now again on the word compassion. The root of that whole word there is something deep within us, that knot in the pit of your stomach, that there's a feeling, there's a sense of a need that you recognize in someone else or in some situation, But it's got to be more than what we feel. It's got to be more than just being sympathetic, but we've got to do something. And so compassion requires action. That's what we talked about last week. Compassion requires action for it to really be of any value. Remember, love is not love until you give it away. Say that with me. Love is not love until you give it away. And so we want to love the hurting of this world, but we want to love the sick of this world, and we want to allow a compassion, may there be a compassion that would rise within us, that would draw us to action when it comes to those who are sick. I want us to be reminded of who we are. We are the people of God. I'm reading a book called Undaunted by Christine Kane. And I love the way in the book, and it's an easy read, but there's some just really wonderful, wonderful things in this book that are real practical. And she goes and talks about how that there's those who might not know their background. They might not know they might not know their biological father or mother's name. They may have been born and no one initially gave them a name until they were adopted. But one of the things that she brings to light in the book is that we have been named by God even before we were born. We are His. We belong to Him. And so God named us what? He named us mine. Would you say mine? That's what God calls you, mine. And so since God calls us His own, you and I, we've got to recognize who we are. We've got to recognize that we belong to Him, and there's things that He wants us to emulate in Him as Father God and our Savior and Lord, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, Jesus, whom is our elder brother, but yet our Savior and Lord. We're to follow His example, and He is a compassionate one. And so we are living in a world again where there's so much that goes on. We can get weary when it comes to compassion. When it seems like maybe there's those who have taken advantage of it. Or just the seemingly being overwhelmed by so much. Maybe one storm after another. Maybe the first one catches our attention, but the next one, well, maybe I don't see the sense of urgency now. I'm weary of it. I've already helped with this one, but what about this? But see, we've got to step beyond our own flesh and feeling and enter into a compassion that is godly in its nature, as our God is full of compassion. We've got to remember who we are. And so I want us to consider healing this morning. As He was healing those that were sick, Jesus was. As He was healing the sick, as He was ministering grace to those with disease, He was bringing recovery to people's bodies. And not only that, there's many things that need to be healing, but the primary one that we understand in the context, it was bodily issues. How many know everything that you and I will do in this life, we do in this body? So we're not just skipping around and talking about healing from the sense of just spiritual healing, although spiritual healing is our number one issue, right? That I be healed spiritually, that I receive healing in my life, whatever it is that I need, but that my spirit man would be healthy is number one. But because of everything that I'm going to do in this life is done in this mortal body, this corruptible body, I'm in need of a touch from the Lord continually, right? And so I cross certain areas and bridges in my life where this physical body needs a healing hand to touch it. And so I want us just to think about that this morning. I want us just to look at the verse 14 of Matthew 14 that I ask you to draw your attention to today. It says, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." Now, I want you to leave your hand there. I want you to turn back to Matthew 4. Turn back to Matthew 4 just a moment. Matthew 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee and teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among them. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them." Notice all the different things that brought that healing came. Notice again, they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon possessed and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So we understand that healing is the will of God. It's not just some preacher that called himself a healing evangelist, or it's not just something that is just out here that somebody came up with. This is God's idea. This is what Jesus did. This is what he wants us to emulate in our life. He wants us to follow him, and as we follow him, he wants us to be praying for people and laying hands upon people, believing that they will recover, believing that they will be healed, believing that they will be delivered out of their sickness and out of their disease. This is not what God did years ago. This is not what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. This is what he does even now. So we got to get firmly in our mind, if we're going to have a heart for sick people, we got to have firmly in our mind that healing is the will of God. That it's the will of God. We believe in divine healing. But we've got to have compassion for the sick. So go back to your Matthew 14:14 passage. And I want to read verse 13 before I read verse 14. "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat." So there was something else going on here in the story. And Jesus departed from where he was by boat to a deserted place by himself. "But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the city." So he basically was taking a shortcut by boat, Jesus was, to get to where he needed to go. Well, the people that had heard where he was headed, they went by foot to get there. So they got there at some point after he did and raced around to that area to where they knew he was going. But so he went by boat. Now, verse 14. "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, And he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now I want you to see this right here. And when Jesus went out of what? Now this is also translated this way, when Jesus went out of the boat. When Jesus went out of the boat. When he got out of the boat. When he got out of the boat, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion. In our compassion for the sick, we have got to move to where the sick are. I want us to see that today. We've got to move ourselves and get out of the boat and get to where the sick are. We got to step from where we are toward where the sick are. Because I want to tell you, it's easy just to stay away. Now, it's not that way if it's us, obviously. Our own need, we're living in it. And we then have a little compassion for ourselves, and we want everybody else to have compassion for us. I remember many years ago, and let me just say to you, I don't know all of the situation, but I remember one time years ago. This was when I was a kid, so I don't know. So if it's you, I'm just telling you, it's just you. So I don't know who it might have been that he was talking about. But there was a particular woman my daddy went to visit in the hospital. And when he was pastor here for 31 years, he went to see this particular lady, and she was all bent out of shape because nobody in the church came and visited her while she was in the hospital. And Daddy said, "Well, I have. I've come many times." She said, "But nobody else has." He said, "How many of them do you visit when they're in the hospital?" He said she didn't say nothing else about it. And that's the nature of that. You know, when we're going through something, there's a tendency to be thinking about what we're going through. But it is true, if you and I are going to effectively minister to the sick, we've got to get out of the boat to where they are. And what I like about this is that Jesus evidently couldn't see everybody till he got out of the boat. And so what I want us to note, that we've got to anticipate and we've got to be moving to see what we can see. Have you ever done that where you wasn't sure what was around the corner, but you walked around the corner and looked? See, there's got to be a sense of that in our life when it comes to ministry. That we're looking for opportunities. We're looking for a way to represent Jesus in this world. And in this case, Jesus got out of the boat. He got out of the boat and he went to where the people were. And what we have to do, there's some places that we have to leave. And I want to tell you, we have to leave busyness in order to be able to minister to the sick. We've got to leave comfort zones in order to look around the corner and then to make progress toward those that would be in need and be sick that we can minister to them. Everything doesn't just come to us. Everything just doesn't happen. We have to make ourselves available so that God can put something in our view and in a way that we can reach that particular thing. Everything that we see going on in the world today, you and I obviously can't be there. We can't be everywhere or in those places. But I'm not interested in us being where we can't be. I'm interested in us being where we can be, right? So you've got to step from where you are toward the sick. If you're going to have compassion and you're going to be able to act on compassion, then you've got to reach out and touch the sick as well. To reach out and touch the sick. Isn't it amazing how that, again, it requires us doing something with this body. We see Jesus and the man with the withered hand. And he said concerning his withered hand, "Lord, if you are willing, would you heal me?" And he said, "I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing, be cleansed." That's what. So if you're wondering about it, he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." Now let me go ahead and say that, since I'm on this point, that you and I will never be able to answer the question about whether or not, why this person, this happened to this situation, and this one in this situation, and why wasn't this person healed, or why wasn't that person healed, and we prayed about all of them, and this person passed away, we prayed they wouldn't, and all kinds of things like that. I want to just calm your mind and rest your mind just for a moment. We just have to do what God has asked us to do and required to us to do as His people, and not leave any, it's not, the results has not anything to do with us. We got to remember who God is and who we are. God is an all-wise, all-sovereign God. There are many things that happen in this world that you and I will never know the answer to. Why calamity comes to various situations, we will never know. There is evil in this world. There's a devil who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that God is gracious. We know that God is full of compassion. We understand that He is good to all, and every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love. We understand that, and then we just pray and believe. But we've got to believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. It's not us to speak a probability. It's not us to pass any kind of ecclesiastical judgments on why this person or that person, it happened this way or that way. What we have to do is just surrender and come into obedience. And what I believe will happen, we'll see a lot more healing when we just obey. And so this is really as On divine healing, this is as really as basic as it possibly can be this morning. I understand that, but yet at the same time, in the world in which we live, it's not basic at all. But nevertheless, this was a primary aspect of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And in Christ is in us the hope of glory, and we are His hands and His feet. We are His vessels to do His work, and we can't just pick and choose what we think God will do today. We just have to be obedient and believe and trust and know. Because I am absolutely convinced today that nothing is too hard for God. But I am convinced that we're hard-headed. Very hard-headed. But there's nothing too hard for God, and that's all we've got to rest our mind on. F.F. Bosworth said this. He said, "Above all things, don't doubt God." He said, if you're going to doubt anything, doubt. Doubt the fact that you're doubting. But don't doubt God. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt Him. I love, again, this 80s worship chorus. "Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arm." This is a scripture. "Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Great and mighty God, Great in counsel and mighty in deed. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. We've got to remind ourselves and then just obey and pray. And what we're doing in prayer when it comes to healing is just agreeing with God that nothing is impossible with Him. It's not being eloquent of speech in our prayers and something somebody can write down in a book and say, man, that's a beautiful prayer. That's not what it's about. It's about calling on a God who loves everybody, who is good to all, who is full of grace and full of compassion, calling upon Him, leaning upon Him, hoping in Him, and leaving it with Him. Believing that He will accomplish that for which we've called upon Him. But never doubt God. Doesn't matter what we see, it doesn't matter what we hear, don't doubt God. One thing about it, if there's any lack going on, it may be me or you, but it's not Him. That's one thing we can be confident of. It's not Him. If you see any lack, if you look at Stephen Phillips and go, man, he's got this problem, he's got that problem, he's got that problem, look at him. Just look at him. I will say, I agree with you. But don't ever look at my God and say, He's lacking in any way. And so may we believe like that. May we communicate that. May we project that out of our mouth. You see, that's where we get off base is something other than life comes out of our mouth. And so we've got to make sure that we're meditating on the things of God, what He can do, not what I can do. That I'm not meditating on what you can do, but I'm meditating on what God can do. And if I'm trusting God, then that's enough. That is enough. So we need to touch the sick. We need to touch the sick. We need to minister to people. And coming in contact with Him is the key, because like the woman with the issue of blood, she reached out and touched Him. So it's coming to that place of contact. So if it's your need that you have, a sickness issue, a problem that you have an example where you can reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. And we have Scripture that says that how it speaks to the fact of Jesus touching us. So either way, it's coming in contact with Him, and we come in contact with Him ultimately by faith, believing, not doubting, but trusting Him. And when we do doubt, doubt the doubt, not doubt God. And so may God help us to really grab hold of this, to have faith to believe in God. He uses medical science. He uses medicines. He does that. In fact, I'm confident, I like the way Jonathan has always said it, that medical science is a fingerprint of God's grace. It's incredible how things have come about. Now, it's not to say everything that the man has done in medical science is okay or all right. But one thing we know is that God can use that. He can use that. But we're not to trump that over God. We're to recognize it in the sense of a perspective. And we look at everything through God's eyes, not the other way around. See, some people will say, "Well, I'm gonna do all of this," and then they'll say, "You know what? Things got so bad, I guess I'll have to pray about it." See, unfortunately, that's a lot of times the angle. See, what we're looking the wrong way. We're going through every human means, and then finally, I might talk to God about it. But no, we turn that around and come to God and speak to God about it, and then God might give the insight where it's needed on the other side. But we got to make sure that God's always the first that we take everything to and through. That we go to Him in prayer. If you have a sickness in your body, go to God in prayer. In fact, we read of in the book of James that if you are sick, there's any sick among you, that you go before the church. You call on the elders of the church, and they will, says to us, they anoint us with oil, they lay hands on the sick. The sick will recover. Now, some translations talk about the sick shall be saved. Now, I believe it's sazo. It's a word for salvation that we see often used in the Bible, and that word is also translated healing and wholeness. And so when we see that, and the sick shall be saved, some people have misrepresented that as though the person needed to get saved. They must have not been born again if they're sick, if they've got disease. That's a lie of the enemy. That's not what it's saying. But it is saying that the same God who saves us in our sin sickness is the same God who can save me in my illness. He can save me in my distress, in my brokenness, in my sickness. He can save me out of that. And so may we understand what this healing is. It is through the salvation work of the Lord. That's why in the atonement, and Peter talked about this, he talked about Jesus and he talked about the atonement of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and he says that he took stripes upon his back for our healing, quoting the prophet Isaiah, because in the shedding of his blood, in the atonement, where he provided for our salvation, he also provided for healing for our bodies. Now, we all understand ultimate healing is when our bodies are glorified in the presence of God in heaven. I understand that. I thank God for that. And anybody that's ever struggled in their health in this world and they are absent from the body and they're present with the Lord, nobody has ever been to heaven ever wanted to come back here. Nobody. Not there. Even Paul wrestled. He was one time caught up into the third heavens, and he thought it better that he stay here. He was in a place where he didn't hardly know. He couldn't even tell. He was caught up in this experience with God. But he knew it was better that he be here. Likewise, we understand healing at the glorification of our bodies, where the mortal takes on immortality, and this corruptible body shall put on incorruption. We understand that, but still, God wants your healing here. That's what I hang on to. Until I take my last breath in this world, and I've always said that as long as there is breath, I pray for healing. And you know what? Many, many, many times it happened, and the person passes, and then I can say, if they're in the Lord, I'll say, thank the Lord. For Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Dying's not the worst thing. Yeah, a lot of times you hear people say this. How you doing today? Doing pretty good. At least I ain't 6 feet under. Are you not ready to meet Jesus? You understand what I'm saying? That sounds kind of contradictory. When John said, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. It sounds a little contradictory. Yes, we want to go to heaven, but the thing is, this is what we got to keep in mind. God has a purpose for us on this earth. And for you and I to be able to use this physical body to perform His purposes, it needs to be well. I think it's simple as that. Our position and purpose in this world as a believer is to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. And in order to accomplish that, He needs me as well as possible. So whether it's through nutrition, whether it's through a need for healing in my physical body, whether it's a need for a miracle, whether it's something that can be taken care of through medical science that God has directed in my life, whatever it is, I need to be in a place where I can be healthy enough to be used by God. So if I need healing today, if I'm sick in my body, I need God to touch me, okay? All right, so here we go. We're shutting the Bible. What time is it? It's 10:07. That's a miracle by itself. This is how I want us to end this today. If you would like God to touch your body physically this morning, I want you to just come stand up here. We got plenty of time this morning. So let's stand, and then I want you to come. You may be coming on behalf of a friend or family member, but I want you to come this morning to receive healing from the Lord today. Pastor John, Pastor Jody, Miss April, other altar workers, if you will, just come get around the front side of the folks. And we're just going to pray. If you can just stretch, we're probably not going to get to maybe lay hands on everybody with the number of people coming. But what we're going to do is once you get here, we're going to ask everybody to touch somebody. All right, just come on down. Come on down. Don't spread all the way to the middle, y'all. Y'all got room here in the middle.